Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome to Discussing the Truth. I am Jim Duke, and we're going to look at divisions and schisms in the Christian faith. Why are there divisions? Why are there schisms? We're instructed in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, "Now I beseech you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared unto me of you, by my brethren, by them which are in the house of Chloe, that there are no contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you says, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I of Cephas, I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" And then he says, "I thank God I didn't baptize any of you." The point of what he was saying was that there should be no schisms, no divisions amongst them. In chapter 3, he reiterated the same thought as he said, "Are you being carnal rather than spiritual? I can't speak to you because you're not spiritual, but you're carnal, babes in Christ. I had to feed you with milk, not with meat, for you are carnal. Whereas there is amongst you envying, strife, divisions. Are you not carnal and walk as men?" And he reiterates again the same thing. "For what do you say? I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. Are you not being carnal? Paul, who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man." And then he goes on to say, "Some plant and some water, and each has their place in the laboring for God's kingdom." And then the scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 24. "For our comely parts have no need, but God has tempered the body parts." That's not the scripture I wanted. The one after it, 25, says, "That there be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another." Why is there divisions and schisms? When we divide, we become carnal and disassociated. But the scriptures tell us to be not divided, not envying, not strife, not walking in carnality. Some want to say that they follow this minister, or they want to say, "I follow that minister." Some lift up their ministers as though they're gods, or that they're the mighty men that they shall follow. And they defend those mighty men as being the most godly men. Yes, our leaders, our shepherds, are to be examples unto the flock, to guide, to protect. But it says in 1 Corinthians 3:5, "When you say, I am of this person or that person, hasn't the Lord given every man?" You should be lifting up the Lord. Other reasons why men are divided are over doctrines. The scriptures say that we must regard sound doctrine, not confronting sin or defining righteousness, or legalistic laws, interpretations. We should be coming to some like-mindedness. Philippians 2:2 says, "Fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." Does this mean that we're not going to disagree? That we cannot come to conclude, that we have to come to conclusions on everything? No, there's going to be some divisions. But it does mean that we're not to have contentions and arguments over it. And many are divided over things such as interpretations of Scripture, legalistic issues. Some denominations have split over the issue over what color the paint on the walls should be. Some of this has not been deliberate, as there have been disputes and teachings, the operations of gifts, for instance. The Baptist groups have come to consider that the gifts were only for a time, done away with in the future, that all the things were fulfilled. And other groups realize that they have not been fulfilled, that we're not in unity yet, and that we haven't come to the fullness of the faith. Jesus Christ has not appeared again, had taken us up. Therefore, the gifts are operative. So how does the Baptist and the charismatic get along? We want to break dividing walls, but how can it be when some regard the gifts and others have abandoned it and have contempt for it? Can a Baptist and a charismatic coincide together? One using the gifts and the other denouncing them. I had a talk with some Baptists who do not believe in healing, for instance. They do not believe the Lord always heals, that it is his will to heal. So be it. Then don't ask the Lord to heal. However, they say we can ask, but we're not to expect it because God may have another remedy for us. Okay. If that's true, then you have to seek out man's operation and go to clinics or whatever. Yes, and some say that it's God's will that you be sick, that you be ill, that you endure. Okay, then don't take any antibiotics. Don't take an aspirin, because if you do, are you not going against God's will for you to take the pain of sickness? Oh, but it's okay to take the dullness away. Well, then he doesn't will it on you, does he? This is just one example of contentions that come up. I hear Baptist ministers saying that the functions of Ephesians 4, some will be apostles, some prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, are dispensational. In other words, they're progressive. You had apostles for the foundation, and now they're gone. You had prophets, they're gone. Evangelists, well, we all are evangelists, so we're left with teachers, because that's the only necessary functions of today, and the rest are disregarded. That's what they would say. However, the scriptures say that they're given for the edification of the body, for the functioning. We have one Lord, one faith, one baptism, but one Father and God above all and through all, and that these were for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edification of the body, till we come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, Ephesians 4:13. Have we come to that point? No. Then are the Baptist groups wrong? Well, they may not be regarding the full extent of the scriptures. It's given for the edification of the body. Ephesians 2:19 says, "Therefore, there's no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built up unto the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being himself the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together grows unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. We become temples of God in the habitation of the Holy Spirit. So what if we're divided? Well, I would say that's broken down, wouldn't you? For it says we are many members, Corinthians 12:20, that if one suffers, the others suffer as well. So this may not be deliberate. And there's certain denominations that have developed from these schisms and divisions, forming institutions, universities and seminars, training centers for indoctrination points of a specific belief in a denomination. Divided over genealogies, over the usage of gifts, over the interpretations. But I have to offer that some of these were deliberate divisions. And I don't get into the controversial subjects on this show, but on my website, jimdukeperspective.com, I offer other podcasts that rip through these issues and dissect them in more detail. But let me just say this. There are certain groups, and I must say secret societies, as even the book of Jude has warned, as he would like to have come to them for the common foundation of the salvation, speak unto them, but it was necessary for him to shift gears and speak to them on warnings of those that crept in, that tainted and counterfeited the faith. There are secret societies today that have been sold on the sole purpose of dismantling Christianity. Freemason groups claim that you can be a Christian and a Freemason, yet as you develop up the scale, it is instrumental in contaminating one's faith and creating a disturbance from theism to deism, as admitted by certain Freemason founders and leaders of that group that I won't get into here, and also the Jesuit groups. There's a sermon by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, I think it's sermon number 68, that warns that you've been taking instruction of the Jesuit universities that have taken over the teachings of the clergy, training men, training teachers to instruct in the gospel with portions taken out. In other words, a contaminated, watered-down gospel, treating the oracles of the faith as though they're common. In other words, abandoning from the necessities of the scriptures and the faith, such as the blood of Christ, the fact of repentance, and the addressing of sin, so that it's a more common, watered-down, more palatable faith. And this has been done on purpose, as the Jesuits set out to dismantle Christianity and rival the Protestant denominations. Oh yes, in their Jesuit oath, they admit that they want to dismantle Christianity in its current true form and bring it under the Catholic Church, at the same time corrupting Protestantism. And it's worked up to certain points, as we have denominations that have strayed from the faith, that has not regarded sound doctrine, as Titus 2:1, 2 Timothy 4:3 warns against.
Some have taken it for granted, saying that as a believer and the Holy Spirit living in us, we have nothing to fear. We can't be apostate, heretical. We cannot turn from the faith. We cannot turn from sound doctrine. And we cannot be harmed by the enemy. And I would say that's faulty, because the scriptures warn of being sober-minded, being alert and aware, recognizing the wiles of the devil, recognizing his tactics and cunning ways to deceive, and if so, even the very elect, and that there will be apostasy on the horizon, a falling away. And we can probably say that the divisions are falling away. And we have contaminations of New Age beliefs and heretical views that have crept in. The scriptures tell us to abstain from worldliness. Yet, there are many denominations teaching you that living as a Christian is no different than living as a world. Even certain movements, seeker-sensitive churches that have made a common environment for those going to their facilities as those in the world, even so as creating entertainment venues for their Sunday morning and sermons turned into stories and nice, calm community teachings to be a good citizen. These are not what we're told to do. We're told to abstain from worldliness and sinfulness that the world would do. Do we occupy in this world? Yes, we do. Are we of this world? No, we're in it, but not of it. We have a differentiation between what the world demands and its purpose and what we are as sanctified believers in Christ, growing unto a holy being, a workmanship of Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit, changing us. We're warned against lifting up tickling ear pastors and teachers and to live as the world. Those that live in the world live unto enmity against God. That's the scriptures. That's not my words. So therefore, the world is teaching us to be like it, and the churches are conforming to the world to try to attract the world into their buildings. So the world have become, the churches have become contaminated, fellowship light and darkness, with community of sin and community of Christ fellowshipping together as if they're going to get converted by osmosis, assimilation, which is a fancy word that seeker-sensitive churches use. Assimilate them into a role and duty, and then they will come to the knowledge of Christ through recognition and relationships. However, Jesus told us to go out in the world and make converts, preach the gospel. Actually, we are not making converts. We're planting and watering, and God brings the increase. And then we bring them in and nurture them, disciple them, make them Christ-like as they mature to fullness, off the milk and into the meat. But the churches today don't want to be divided. So instead, they've taken on a form of godliness but denying its power, thereby being a different being, a different creature, one that isn't conformed to the scriptures or to Christ-likeness. You can disagree with me. Just look around and see what the churches are doing. Yes, they're preaching the gospel. Some are coming to Christ. So they're doing a good work. Well, they have fruit, okay. But what it is they aren't doing, we should be concerned about. the little bit of fruit, are the people coming to Christ sold to Christ? Or have they been bought into the community, the facility, the nurturing, and the imagery of the pastor? That's what I would ask. Are the Christians hearing the message not mixed with faith? Is it being thrown onto stony ground, where when the cares of the world and the pressure comes upon them, the seed is snatched up and lost because it wasn't buried deep as a root? That's what happens when you have worldliness and when you assimilate people into the faith rather than reveal to them their heinous wickedness against an almighty Father in heaven, that they need Yeshua, they need Jesus to come to merit for their sins that they cannot merit themselves. We have a division over some of this too. Some say the road is wide. There are certain denominations widening the gate because they don't think it's fair that it's narrow. But the narrow way isn't our words, it's Jesus' words. The way is narrow and few enter it. You can't widen the gate by taking the pillars, by removing the boundaries, and opening the doors and allowing the sinfulness and the flesh to come in. That doesn't give more people in as they come in as a thief that way. Jesus is the door. Anybody that comes in any other way is a thief. By the back door, by the window, by opening the walls up so it's wider, that is not the way in. You have to get there the narrow way, as the narrowing leads you to the cross, to Yeshua Jesus, that you see him for salvation, the deliverance of your sin, and that you regard him as master. So are the divisions healthy? Well, they set boundaries, but they're more like altars. They're different personalities. Can they coincide? Sometimes. Other times they're dividing walls. So how would we break down these walls so we can coincide? Well, we would have to break from the institutional harness over our minds. We would have to break from the bondage of the organizations. See, we're all formed into organizations. It's not an organism of a living body, as the scriptures tell. It's organizations, little businesses. They might have the same purpose. They might have some of the same goals, but they're not in unity in some cases. Just in the goals. And if that's good enough, that's good enough. But if we're ever going to break the walls, we're going to have to break our pride and our haughtiness. Some of the leaders are going to have to submit and surrender the traditional teachings of their denomination and actually ask Yeshua if what they're learning is correct and ask the Holy Spirit to teach them rightness. Is anybody really that knowledgeable that they have it all together? Probably not. But we would do much better calmly, systematically, and reasonably looking at these scriptures and each hearing, humbling ourselves and hearing from the Holy Spirit as to the correct interpretation, rather than demanding the letter of the law. The letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And if we don't have the Holy Spirit, how are we going to hear from the Spirit? some denominations aren't regarding the Holy Spirit. They quenched prophecy. They don't regard it, as 1 Thessalonians talks about. So if they don't acknowledge the moving of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, how are they hearing the Holy Spirit? Yeah, maybe they can hear him speaking to him to them in some scriptures, but when it comes to indoctrination, they're stubborn, stamping their feet on the ground, holding their place for the traditions of men that they have learned, even if shown otherwise. Why not at least consider one another, not in contentiousness and not in demanding for one season, says you must do this. Well, you might not have it right either. So maybe we should both look at the scriptures and make sure. We don't need to argue over them. And if that happens to happen, we may need to separate for a time, but never brush a person off forever. Always leave that door open. So this is divisions and schisms that we need to address, and that we should come to the like-mindedness, the same mind towards one another in Jesus Christ as the center. And I hope you learned something. Maybe I did as well. And I thank you for listening. My website is jimdukeperspective.com. And we'll talk to you next time.